Everyone, welcome back to High Tea Hoops. This is Brian Beauchesne at the Duke of Hoops. And as always, I am joined by Skylar Smith. What's up, Skylar?
Hi, Brian. So excited to talk about free agency today.
Absolutely. There's a lot happened. And we are joined by a special guest, James Green, sports journalist who is on Sky Sports, Talk Sport. James, welcome to the High Tea Hoops podcast. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for meeting. And I'm just going to apologize to you, Brian, for slating you in a previous podcast last year. So
Anytime NBA. I did my Nuggets segment as a Nuggets fan, where I lived in Denver for a long time. You lived in LA, so you were the Lakers fan. And it was early in the series, so I still had hope. And you slandered the Nuggets a bit, and then it turned out to be true, which was a little depressing. So I'm glad
I apologize. I was just in the moment. You know what it's like? You're in the moment. You're in the zone.
You're fired up.
You're too excited. Yeah, that was it.
I love to see it. But for the fans who, for our audience who doesn't know you, do you want to give a little bit of your background?
Absolutely. So I'm a sports reporter here in the UK. I've been working with Sky Sports for a year now. Do some work with Talk Sports, BT Sport recently. Sport's just been my life ever since I was younger. Studied it at university as well. Found whatever sports degree I could possibly study because that's all I was interested in. Have traveled the world a bit. Loved my time in LA. Became a humongous Lakers fan.
Yeah. Didn't pick the Clippers?
Definitely didn't pick the Clippers. Do you know what? My friend group in LA I wouldn't be allowed to be a Clippers fan. You know, almost no one is anyway, but I met these people literally on the second day I was there, and all they talked about was the Lakers, and that was it. I was drawn into it, and now I'm just an obsessive. People hate me because of it probably, but I do apologize because I'm really smug because the NBA champ. So but no, look, I love sport, and that's what I do, and that's what I like to do, come on podcasts like this and talk basketball, talk sport.
Amazing. Well, we're going to try to make sense of the draft, free agency moves, trades, offseason. I mean, just constantly refreshing Shams and, you know, the Woj bombs coming through over the last week. It's been insane. So we're going to fly through this a little bit. We're going to start with the NBA draft, move on to free agency and offseason moves. And then we're doing a little tradition that we have here in the States called Thanksgiving. We're just going to talk about what we're thankful for British basketball, basketball in general, which Skylar will tee up, which I'm excited for later on. But to start with, NBA draft, let's go through the top 10 picks just to, you know, put everything in context here. Number one, Anthony Edwards goes to the Timberwolves. Two, James Wiseman, Golden State Warriors. Three, LaMelo Ball, Charlotte Hornets. Patrick Williams, number four, to the Chicago Bulls. Isaac Okoro to the Cleveland Cavaliers, number five. Onyeka Okongwu going to the Atlanta Hawks at number six. Killian Hayes going to the Detroit Pistons, Skylar, good pickup there at number seven.
Thank you.
Obi Toppin going to the New York Knicks at number eight. Denny Avdija, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, Washington Wizards at number nine. And Jalen Smith going to the Suns at number 10. So as we've talked about before, this is not one of the most exciting drafts we've had over the last few decades, but there was still some fun throughout the draft. So what do you think about these top three picks, James? Let's focus in on just the top three picks, because I think it was a kind of a three-pick draft. So what are some of your initial thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, here in the UK, first of all, you don't hear as much about the college game or high school game like it is in the States. And it's a shame. I'd love to see that come over here more, because college basketball is so good. It's such a high quality.
Yeah, so fun.
It's unbelievable. And it's so much fun. Last year we were excited by Zion, and obviously Ja Morant just lit it up. He's literally one of my favorite players in the NBA right now as well. But this year, look, Anthony Edwards. Now, my first thoughts, talented, raw, and then I watched his interview on ESPN. And it just made me question things. Like,
I love where this is going.
First of all, you need some new advisors. Second of all,
seriously,
he's not really a basketball fan.
He hates it.
Who comes out and says, just before the draft, I'm not really a fan of basketball. Not really that fast. You're the number one draft pick. I mean, it was a staggering statement, and one that if I was say a Timberwolves fan right now, I'd be a little bit concerned about. And I hope it was just maybe a slip of the tongue and it wasn't anything too serious. But there's been a couple of little questions about him, about whether he's switched on at times and he switches off. And to me, that shows that he's not actually overly interested in what he's doing. So look, whether that will change being part of an NBA setup, I don't know. He is raw. He is young. I don't think we should be expecting a season like Ja Morant in the first season. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But he could be one to watch. But there's a lot of question marks in my opinion.
Concerning. And I'm going to throw it to Skylar because she had some pretty hot Anthony Edwards takes on draft night. Skylar, what do you think of the number one pick?
I think there are so many red flags with Anthony Edwards and I'm obsessed with him. I think it's so funny.
Skylar just lives for the drama. She wants him to be like, I'm really trying to be an NFL player and my path there is through the NBA.
I mean, truly, he loves football. He truly like American football. Sorry. He's truly just so incredibly athletic and it's going to take a lot of work for him to get to be like an all-star, a really contributing player in the NBA. And so we'll see if he even wants to put in that work. But I am honestly, I'm instituting an Anthony Edwards beef watch with Damian Lillard. Did you guys see he dissed Dame's rap?
Yeah, he's like, I'm a real rapper.
Yeah, he was like, he said, I'm a real rapper. I rap like Lil Baby, which
not like
people
Dame.
Over the age of 25, I'm sure hated that statement because Lil Baby is I think he's very age specific for like Gen Zers, maybe young.
Or if you're on TikTok, I know Lil Baby.
I'm not saying you don't know him, Brian, but I think he's
don't call me old.
It's a younger rap. But yeah, I think we might see a Dame Anthony Edwards beef and I'd love it. I'd love to see them get into like, are dropping diss tracks back and forth. I'd love that.
Why is there always beef around Damian Lillard?
I feel like Dame and I are like kindred spirits in that he also like just loves the drama, but he doesn't actually take it seriously. Like he was just on Twitter saying like, you guys blew up that Russell Westbrook beef. Like there's not actually any beef. We just both like to compete really hard against each other. So I think he plays into it and he like uses it as motivation, but he's like pretty chill about it.
So do you think Damian Lillard is like a giant spoon and just like stirring it? And
exactly.
Withdrawing it from the bowl and just watching it all happen.
He is a under 6 foot point guard star in the league that was not at a top D1 school and top program. So he's going to have a chip on his shoulder his whole career. And
small
I love
market.
It. He has had to have that the whole time. Small market. Wow. It's just everything stacked against him. Also just, like, think of yourself, like your photo when you're 17, 18, and then just compare that to Anthony Edwards. It's just not fair. These people are not humans. They're literally the monstars. He's got like a 60-inch vertical. He's like 215 pounds of muscle. That's just a side note. Let's move on to James Wiseman. He was my favorite pick of the draft. I think he is a steal at the Warriors. I think he's such a good fit there. They are able to take a little bit more risk, but they lost Klay Thompson. To a season-ending injury, which is just, I love Klay. I don't think you'll find anyone who hates Klay that's an NBA fan. And just such a loss. But I think Wiseman fits in really well. James, what did you think of the Wiseman pick?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think it's a great pickup by the Warriors. I think it just fits what they need right now. He's a real talent. 7'1", he's quick, he's fast.
7'6" wingspan.
I mean, it's just insane. These players are being built completely different nowadays, aren't they? He looks a real, real talent. He'll learn so much from what the Warriors have got, the experience they've got around the side. Look, Klay Thompson's a huge miss. I felt the same as you. I was absolutely devastated. I love watching him play. As an NBA fan, to watch somebody who can shoot the ball so smoothly, so quickly like he does. He's just a good guy, isn't he? He's a nice guy. And, you know, the last we saw of him play, he goes off the field with, what was it, an ACL injury and then comes back on just to actually hit a couple of free throws. So he had to go back off again. I mean, he's just a nice guy, wants to play ball. It's just so unfortunate. It's just life's not fair sometimes, is it? And you know, we really want to see the best players compete. But look, the Warriors be happy. I think Wiseman is a really good pick for them. I think he's going to be a real talent as long as he's nurtured through as he should be. Yeah, I think it's a good steal for the Warriors. And ultimately, the Timberwolves were never going to pick him up because...
No, not a good fit there.
It's not a good fit there. But for the Warriors, they've done really well out of that.
And think of being Wiseman. You're a little bit more raw. You're obviously physically gifted and athletic, but you still need to improve on your actual skill set. And then you just drop to the Warriors at number two, like into a system that is just there to support you. You have the best shooters in the world. You have all of the technology. God, he must have been thrilled. What did you think of this pick, Skylar?
Yeah, I agree with everything you both have already said. This one made a lot of sense to me just because of the kind of culture fit. Yeah. Obviously, he makes a lot of sense like within the team. They could use him. But I think of the Golden State Warriors as a really culture-oriented team. It seems like they really they really want to foster a culture where their teammates really care about each other, and the coaches really care about all the players, and you know, they really trust each other, and they like it. You can tell that it's just Steve Kerr's a good guy and Steph Curry's a good guy and Klay Thompson's a good guy. Like, you just can, you can tell with them.
Yeah.
And James Wiseman was one of the people in this draft that was kind of considered a sure thing personality wise. Like, he's, you know, he's a good kid. He's got good grades. He's got a good head on his shoulders. So yeah, this pick makes a lot of sense to me.
I'm excited. Like, to see it.
I like the fact that you were talking there. Me and Brian were just nodding away, nodding away.
The YouTube video, like, good point, good point.
It literally was, wasn't it?
And let's go to LaMelo.
I love it. Hype me up.
Hype Skylar up, the Duchess of Hoops. LaMelo Ball, I'm going to say this now. He is not mellow. He does not deserve it. He has not earned it. Carmelo Anthony James, if you don't know this, Carmelo is my favorite player. He dropped to us at the Nuggets when I was at my formative years, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. Thank you, Skylar, for the Pistons taking not Carmelo at number two.
You are so welcome.
Love that draft. But LaMelo Ball going to the Hornets. My theory is that Michael Jordan wanted to put a big Air Jordan logo on him, just a big fuck you to Big Baller Brand and to Puma, who had just signed him for like $100 million. James, what do you think about this pick other than the branding opportunity?
First of all, I think he's the type of character that will be really annoyed. He'll be so annoyed. His whole family will be annoyed. LeVar will be annoyed. He's number three and not number one. I think that will actually put a chip on his shoulder. Look, this kid and that family, they must watch TV. They're like the basketball's equivalent of the Kardashians, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You can't keep your eyes off them. You never know what's happening next. But look, break it down. This kid's a talent. He's very, very good. The one thing they're going to be so excited to watch, because he's just going to want to watch and see what he does. This is a player that, let's be honest, doesn't really care about the defensive end, which he's going to have to change if he wants to succeed in the NBA. But attacking wise, he's just fearless. He's scary. And he's 6 foot seven.
I didn't realize he was so tall. When did he get that tall?
He said when he was a freshman, or was in maybe a sophomore at high school or something, he was 5'10". Mm-hmm. And then he just
leapt blew up
about a year later or something. But 6 foot seven, he is tall, he is talented, he is super confident. Mm-hmm. Look, it's just going to be an interesting watch. What I like about him, though, I like his, you know, he's taken a very unique journey into the NBA. You know, I like the fact he went out and played in Lithuania, really, really tough European basketball. He then goes over and plays adult basketball, proper men's basketball in Australia. You know, so he's not going to be afraid of anything. I think the one thing, though, he's going to be just great to watch.
Yeah.
But maybe the
super
good
fun.
And maybe the bad as well. So
I can't wait for these turnovers. It's going to be so fun. And for context, he played against the Lions, I think, a couple years ago, the London Lions in the BBL, and he put up like 46 points on the London Lions or something. He's going to be really talented.
He said as a sophomore, he put up 92 points in one game.
Did you see that, though? I hated those highlights so much.
Even
he just shot every time. But you're right. Most people can't score 92 points, even if they score every time. That's
I'm still trying. I'm still trying.
Skylar, what do you think of this LaMelo pick? I almost slipped up and broke.
Yeah, you almost did it yourself. I had a feeling LaMelo was going to come to Detroit for some reason. I was a little nervous about it. He has a lot of connections to Detroit. He, like, Jermaine Jackson was his trainer, and he has all these connections to Detroit. I'm very happy that he went to the Hornets. Mm-hmm. I didn't want all that drama, to be honest, even though it would have been great for the Pistons. I feel like, what can you say about LaMelo Ball that hasn't already been said, honestly? I feel like
he's one of the most covered picks of all time.
I am excited. To your point, James, I am excited that we're going to start seeing all these different players taking different paths to the NBA. And it's not just going to be college anymore. It's really exciting to see like the G League developing and having that become an option. And we talked a lot during the bubble about how players like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson just looked terrified in that in that final series. They just, it, you know, you could tell that it was their first series, and all of a sudden they're playing against LeBron. And I think LaMelo is going to be a lot more prepared for situations like that because he has been in those leagues. So it'll be really cool to see. I'm very excited to see how LaVar Ball fucks with Gordon Hayward from the sidelines.
All right, let's dive into other parts of the draft. We're going to do who made the best pick. So I'm going to throw out some of the nominees. You guys can tell me who you think it is, or you can bring in a new nominee if you want. These are my nominees that I came up with. Weissman to the Warriors, Okongwu to the Hawks, Obi Toppin to the Knicks, Vassell to the Spurs, and I'm also going to throw Skylar a lob here and say Killian Hayes to the Pistons.
If you weren't going to put it in, I was going to. So
is that your pick, Skylar?
That's my pick.
Best pick?
Killian Hayes to the Pistons?
It was a competent pick, which is impressive for the Pistons.
Yeah. I'm so satisfied with this draft for the Pistons.
Are you satisfied, James? Because are you satisfied because it's a guard and it, you know, you haven't got any anymore? It seems.
Wait, you can win with five centers.
We might
we'll get
see
into
it.
That later.
We'll get into it later.
I think it's a good. I think it's a good pickup. Honestly, I really do. It's hard to look past James Wiseman, really. I really struggled. I was researching, you know, we, like I said, in the UK, we don't get to see these players as regularly. So for me, as for my background, I just love reading and researching and reading different articles, reading journalists, reading experts. What are they saying? What's everybody saying? And trying to piece everything together as best as I can. And, you know, Weissman, though, looks the real pick. Obi Toppin looks a good fit. And what I like about Obi Toppin is that what we're seeing now, so many players coming into the NBA as a freshman, coming in 19, one year in college, and that's it. They're going straight into the draft. Obi Toppin hasn't done that. I think he didn't teeter with the draft last year, or he thought about it and didn't get much.
Yeah, I think so.
There wasn't anything going on, so he decided to wait a year. But he waited a year, like worked on his game. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic. What I like about him, I feel like he's NBA ready. Do you know what I mean? I think some of these other players are going to take... Absolutely. I think some of these other players are going to take a little bit of time, a little bit of patience to get going. This is a player, to me, who, by all intents and purposes, will be able to just play minutes straight away. Big minutes as well, and it won't affect him at all. I think he's got real potential. I think it could be a good pick.
Obi Toppin, good. And did you see in the interview, he couldn't dunk until like he was a sophomore or junior in high school? It was like a really slow development. He's known for his dunking. So he was a slower developer. But on your point on there's not much data on these players, you're absolutely right. Most of us in the States, we wait until March Madness and that tournament to see who really stands out. We didn't get March Madness this year. We didn't get any workout videos with anyone. So it was a real mystery. And we didn't get to see the players, unfortunately. And it kind of took away the opportunity for a lot of them to go on that national stage at March Madness.
Which means it's going to be a bit of a mystery come this season. And that's where it's kind of exciting because we can make our predictions, but we really don't know who's going to take it by the scruff of the neck and really start to perform out there, which is exciting.
It is. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do that because let's do steal of the draft. I think you'll see some of these lower first round picks, second round picks be like, oh, wow, like they're an actual contributor. They're going to be a good NBA player. And we just didn't know because we didn't have that time to assess. So I'm going to pull out some more nominees here. Again, Okongwu to the Hawks, Killian Hayes to the Pistons, Tyrese Haliburton to the Kings, who fell a lot further than a lot of people thought. And then I'm just going to throw one in for me, RJ Hampton to the Nuggets, who was previously a top five draft pick and then went to the Breakers in New Zealand and didn't perform as well, so dropped. But what do we think? Skylar, what do you think the steal of the draft was?
I mean,
can't say Killian Hayes.
What if I just said him again?
I'm not allowing it.
I personally don't think can it be a steal at number seven?
It can,
I don't know if that's possible.
Michael Jordan drops to seven, that's a steal.
Sure. I guess that's fair. Tyrese Haliburton was pretty shocking to me that he dropped so far. I actually, going into that draft, I had talked myself into wanting the Pistons to pick him. And so when we got to him and we took Killian, I was like, okay, happy with that. And then kind of figured he was going like next or, you know, at 9 or at 10, and then he just kept dropping. So
yeah.
I think the Kings got a real steal with Tyrese Halliburton. Although the fact that he dropped that far, like, may mean that there's something that we aren't seeing that they are seeing. So who knows? Could be the steal, but maybe not. And shout out RJ Hampton, Brian. You really picked up a good one there.
The Nuggets. We get a lot of good ones. That's my pick, RJ Hampton. We get Ball Ball. We get Michael Porter Jr., regardless of his belief in masks and politics. We get a lot of steals in the draft. So I think we got another steal here. What do you think, James?
I've gone for, again, pronunciation apologies, Denny Avdija.
Is it Avdija? Avdija? I think it's Avdija. I think you're right.
Avdija. We'll say that anyway. European player. First Israeli to be drafted as high as that as well into the NBA. It's fantastic. He looks a real player. Again, look, I'm going on my research. I'm going on what I've read, what I've watched, everything like that. But I really like him. He looks a real talent. 6'10", really fiery. And what I like about these young lads coming through that they've got that competitiveness about them, and that's what you need in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he's really got that. He looks a real good prospect for the Wizards. I can kind of see him. I can see him somewhere else afterwards. I'd like to see him at the Lakers at some point. He's got that about him, and I really like that. I think he's gonna be a really good pick. Actually, I think he's gonna be one to watch. I think he'll make a real big difference over there.
Are the Pistons
an iconic backdrop?
Oh my gosh, the wine bottles!
Just so much wine. Mate.
Just wall full of wine.
Beautiful, didn't it?
It was beautiful. Gorgeous. I also love that he has the basketball pedigree with his dad being a top Israeli player. But the Pistons and Wizards being competent in a draft? What year is
it? Shocking.
It's 2020.
It's 2020.
All right. Those are some good steals. I think we'll see. I think we'll see a lot of the first rounders, second rounders kind of come out and show that they are NBA ready. Where in past years, you know, we get a lot of them dropping off. Let's go to worst pick. My nominee, Patrick Williams in Chicago. That's all
your
I got.
That's your sole nominee.
That's my sole nominee. What a crazy pick. I don't think he even started in college.
No, he's a sixth man. He's a sixth man.
It's weird.
Fourth overall.
Seems like a lovely lad, by the way. And I think whenever you mention a worst pick, as much as I'm going to be Mr. Nice here, but I'm going to be Mr. Nice, it doesn't mean they're not bad kids. You know, it means the franchises are either picking or a bit of a strange one. Look, it is a strange pick. It's really... I'm really surprised. I think they had an opportunity to get somebody who's kind of a bit more ready and I don't know, can make a bigger impact as a bit more of a franchise player. It just is bizarre. Like I said, lovely lad. And I hope he proves us all wrong and he's going to come up flying. But I don't know, number four pick and I don't know, not sure.
I say bad pick because if you're the Bulls, you don't have to grab him at four. Trade down. He will still be on the board. So just from the logistics standpoint, you don't have to go up and get – if you know that's your guy and you believe it, that's great. He could be a great player. Like you said, he could be a great person. But you don't have to spend your fourth pick on it. Try to get some assets from it. You can take advantage of that because you know he's going to fall. No one's going to move up the draft to pick him. So that was my definition of bad picks. Did you have anyone else, Skylar?
No. I think that's it. I'm with
you. That was wild. I did. Was he the, I think, his mom owns the flower shop and
was
he was the
him?
Driver. And he was driving around.
Oh my God,
that was,
can we move on to best family moment? Because
yes,
I'm
can.
Really excited for that.
Okay, here's best family moment. I have a bunch of nominees. It's Patrick Williams driving around with his mom's flowers from the mom flower shop. I had the wall of wine with Denny Avdija. I loved that. Tyrese Halliburton and his dad making adorable TikTok dances together, TikTok videos together. I thought that was great.
What a suit he had on as well.
Incredible suit.
Unbelievable.
Seriously. Cole Anthony to the Magic. His mom made a film about him in 2013. His mom's a filmmaker. Incredible story. And he rose over the last 7 years to be a draft pick. So that one was amazing. And then this is just a fun one. Bruce Pearl just stranded on the side of the highway. Talking about Isaac Okoro going to the Cavs. That was hilarious. Not a family moment, but a coach is kind of in your family. And why is he on the side of the highway? So those are my nominees. Skylar, what was your favorite one?
My favorite was Patrick Williams and the flower shop, his mom's flower shop. I think I just loved all of the mom stories this year. Like in general, I just want more interviews with moms and more mom stories and less just like insane trauma to these players. Yeah, like I was getting so sick of hearing like, this player just got drafted here. This is the best day of his life. Okay, your brother got hit by a bus 12 years ago, and then 2 years later, your dad died. Like, tell us about that. Like, this is supposed to be the best day of their lives, and they, like, just make them talk about their worst traumas, and I never understand it. Like, I guess it's the romanticism of, like, they're overcoming this, but mm-hmm. I feel like, in general, it just makes everyone feel like shit, and so I just don't really know why they do it.
James, yeah. you've been in TV. Why do they do this? You might have a good perspective on this.
They do it because it pulls on your emotional strings, and that's it. I mean,
that's it. They're just trying to find it.
To be honest, I'm watching those videos, and I'm going. As soon as they talk about one of the players' brother died in a skateboarding accident, you're just like,
that one was rough.
That was brutal.
It's And look, I understand, yes, maybe we should be focusing on different stuff, but it's all about storytelling. You know, look, you know reality TV, you know what it's like in America. It's probably more a different level to what it is like in the UK, but it's about pulling on heartstrings. It's grabbing their attention, making us really emotionally invested in these stories and in these players. And that's why they do it. Look, I like it personally. I like to get that emotion. I like to feel that emotion. I like to feel right. I really want them to do well because they've had something challenging.
Trauma in their past.
I do. And maybe I'm a softie, all right? And anybody who knows me will tell me I'm a softie. But for me, the story for me was Cole Anthony, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought the Little Ballers video, it's amazing. Unbelievable how that this video could be created with this young lad who, by the way, was at that age so confident, going, I'll just get into the NBA and probably spend quite a few years there. He was so relaxed, like,
that's amazing.
Just going to happen. And then it has happened. It's unbelievable. Really, really cool story. I like that.
Yeah, that was a really fun moment. I think my favorite one was, it's tough because the TikTok one really gets me. I'm a big TikTok guy, James, if you don't know that.
You've mentioned TikTok about 8 times since we started. Starting to tell. I'm still struggling to understand what it is, but that shows my age.
I'm going with the wine wall. Danny Avdija.
Iconic.
Big wine wall. Love to see it. That was probably what we talked about most on draft night, Skylar. I loved it. All right. Great draft talk. Let's move on to free agency because there's a lot to cover. We're going to section this out. We're going to go team by team. So I'm going to start with the contenders, go into the challengers, go into the up-and-comers, and then go into the Pistons, who are at the bottom of the rung.
Put them in the up-and-comers.
They were just below the up-and-comers. I just didn't subsection.
We're an up-and-comer. You can't create a new section for us, Brian. It's too mean.
And James, we're going to throw you a little softball here. We're going to start with the Lakers because they are the champions. They deserve it. Somehow they got better. I'll run through the moves.
So annoying.
We did a whole NBA teams. Oh, if you're watching this YouTube video, I hate James's face right now.
It's so smug.
We did an NBA teams guide leading up to the season, and every single team, when we were going through the history, their best player left for the Lakers. Every single one through history. So we just got so annoyed, and it's happening again. Let's go through these moves. Marc Gasol. 2-year deal. Unbelievable signing. You got Trez. KCP is staying. You brought on Dennis Schroeder. You brought on Wesley Matthews. So you lost JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, which were fan favorites. Danny Green is gone. Rondo's gone. But you almost upgraded at every position. James, you can gloat if you want. The floor is yours. What do you think of all these moves?
I'm happy. Look, I could gloat a lot, actually. It's quite surprising, actually. First of all, it's surprising. I didn't expect there to be so many moves. You know, you win a championship. A lot of teams kind of rest on what got them there, and that's pretty much it. And it's actually it's refreshing to see the Lakers going, you know what, people will catch up to us if we play the same way with the same team. What we're going to do is mix it up and change it. And change it, have they? I mean, oh my God. When Dennis Schroeder, when that was announced, I was so excited. I'm such a huge fan of his. I think he's just
amazing.
His numbers improved so much last year. He will really take the pressure off LeBron, especially in a regular season. LeBron's minutes can probably drop, probably more than it's ever dropped, I would say now. Yep. But Schroeder can step into that place, no problem at all.
Because he was that sixth man last year. Just came in and was a playmaker. He could take over the game.
And he's a runner-up sixth man of the year last year. But how do we better that? Well, we go and get the reigning sixth man of the year, Montrezl Harrell. I mean, that was just, I couldn't quite believe that.
The Clippers were shocked.
The Clippers were shocked. I mean, good. That's a shame. But look, what a pickup that is. A tenacious player, strong defensively, a winner. The one thing I will say, and the only slight negative I will say, and the smallest negative, which I'm, I guess, intrigued to see how it's going to work, is how the personalities are going to mix together. You know, one thing everybody in the Lakers talked about last season was how they all got on with each other. The atmosphere around the squad was great. You saw him on the sidelines, JaVale, Dwight Howard, even Quinn Cook was a big part of that as well. Those players are gone now. So where does that personality come from? It's going to be interesting. But I mean, I'd never expected us to be in this position.
It's amazing. Right now. Do you think AD is going to re-sign?
Oh, yeah. He's good. So, absolutely. No,
that would
no
be the last domino. Whatsoever. Just AD's out to the Nuggets.
I mean, imagine if he does. Like, imagine if he doesn't sign and goes somewhere.
AD to the Pistons.
Well, they need another center, so he might as well. Eddie will sign. I think it's just
He's just waiting. He's just waiting.
It's fine. He'll sign. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got another ring dangling in front of him, really. Look, I am smug. I am happy. I don't care because you know I've seen the Lakers in some bad places over the last 10 years. So I'm okay with it. I'm pretty happy.
All right, cry me a river, James.
Yeah, Lakers fans always want us to feel bad for them for the past 10 years, and guess what? We don't.
Yeah, I actually.
I'm a Pistons fan. I do not feel bad for you.
LeBron got injured 2 years ago. I mean, feel bad.
Oh,
for
him. Tough.
It was awful.
So tough.
He just that butt muscle just really goes in year 15. I was born in Newport Beach, James. So I grew up in Lakers territory. You know, Kobe would fly over in his helicopter to go to games, and so I like the Lakers. It's just unfair. And I think Pelinka saw. He's like, what? I'm the seventh. I think he came in seventh in the GM voting, best GM of the year. And he's like, I'm going to win that next year.
But by the way, that was ridiculous. It's almost like because that where the Lakers are and everyone comes to the Lakers, it's almost unfair. But you still need a GM to try and put the pieces together. And he certainly did. That made no sense to me at all. But look, I'm not going to cry about that at all.
But this year, he's like, you know what? I'm going to upgrade every position on a championship team. Skylar.
He's not finished yet.
No. There's still more moves. What do you think, Skylar? Terrified?
I'm scared of this team. This is a scary team. I mean, this is what we would expect. Like, after a team wins a championship, you expect kind of the lower guys to go and get more money elsewhere. They suddenly are valued a lot higher. So I was expecting a lot of these guys to leave. I was not expecting the Lakers to just upgrade them in every position. So that's really scary. I love that Marc Gasol is kind of continuing the Gasol legacy in LA as a Laker. Plus Pau still lives in LA and he just had a newborn baby. So Mark can go hang out with
Gasol
his
family.
I think it's a niece. So that's fun. I am really excited to talk about Trez and the Clippers because I think it's going to be a fun season whenever they play.
That's the Clippers next contender having the Lakers had the offseason the Clippers wanted. They lost Trez, but they brought on Serge Ibaka, Marcus Morris re-signed. They brought on Patrick Patterson. So they've been making some moves. There was a report this morning, this is Monday, November 23rd, that they have something up their sleeve. Maybe they're just overcompensating because it hasn't gone well so far. James, what do you think about these Clippers moves?
I'd be interested to see what's up their sleeve. But
trading Paul George,
I don't
know what else they could do.
The Pistons also have something up their sleeve, guys.
The Nuggets have something up their sleeve.
So do the Lakers still. it's great. Do you know what I love about the Clippers? Because it's like this proper rivalry. And I love that. I love that in sport. Yeah, now it is. It's great. It's how it should be. And I really love it. I love to hate them as well. I hate Patrick Beverley. Really hate him. And he plays for the Clippers. It makes it even better. I think Serge Ibaka is a huge signing for them, actually. Yeah. I've got to say, losing Trez would have been a big shot. But fair play to them for quickly jumping up and getting a backer in. I really like him. I think he's a really talented player. He's good on both ends of the floor. Look, is it enough for them? The problem is, you mentioned Paul George. Is Paul George just almost declining? He's just going nowhere, isn't he? Is he not really at that level that people and everybody expected? So is there anything to be afraid of? I don't think there is. I don't think they're any better than they were last year, unless they've got something under their sleeve. But
Yeah. Well, Skylar's a big Serge Ibaka fan, not as much as the Queen of Hoops, my wife, who is obsessed with Serge Ibaka and his cooking channel and his fashion. But Skylar, what do you think of this? What do you think of this move?
I do love Serge Ibaka. I think this is actually a great move. Last year, it just seemed like, this is a very not basketball reason for why I think this is a great move. I think this is a great move because Kawhi literally hated everyone on the Clippers last year, and now he has a friend again.
That is true. The culture building. I forgot about that. They're good friends.
Serge and Kawhi are really good friends. Serge was like one of the ones who would like make Kawhi's personality come out in Toronto when everyone was like calling him a robot and whatever. They actually get along really well. And you could tell last year that Kawhi didn't really have a ton of friends and didn't really like that team. And there was real team chemistry problems. So, maybe that's a start.
Skylar, nobody liked the Clippers last year. Nobody.
Not even the Clippers.
It's true. Not even themselves.
It's true.
Yeah, that was sad to see. Let's go over to the East because we still have so many moves. We're going to go Milwaukee Nets. Milwaukee, they got Jrue Holiday. They gave up a ton of assets to get Jrue. They got Bogdanović for like half of a second, but didn't get him. And so they've gotten Jrue Holiday, Torrey Craig, DJ Augustine, Bobby Portis. So not the biggest names, but, you know, they're still there. They're hanging around. They got Jrue to shore up that point guard spot, especially on the defensive end. And then the Nets brought on Jeff Green. Jeff Green's, 75th team that he's now on? Just the Jeff Green carousel. They brought back Joe Harris. And it seems like they have a lot more moves to make. But what do you think of this Eastern Conference movement? Skylar, let's start with you.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah, sure. James, over to you.
Can't really add more than that. It's very mundane.
Yeah. Jrue gave up a lot. I think that's the story. Milwaukee gave up a lot for Jrue.
I think the Bucks. I think I'd be really concerned, wouldn't you? You know, you're trying to entice Giannis to sign again. Is that going to make him commit? I don't think so. Yeah, what's he got to? He's got to the end of December, start mid-December, so not too long to make a decision for next year. That, to me, just kind of signals everything. It signals, he's off. Don't know where he's going to go. Look, the moves are okay. Like you said, that they'll be up there in the East, no doubt about it, but are they improved from last year? Really?
I don't know.
Just think it's a bit meh. Like that, Skylar. I think that's a good noise, Skylar. Do that again.
Nets, I think, have more moves to make. I would love to see Harden there, but we won't cover that on this podcast. But they haven't made that many yet. Joe Harris was a big pickup, but it seems like we'll get some breaking news this week for the Nets. Let's go to the challengers. So I have Warriors, Nuggets, Heat, Trailblazers, Celtics, 76ers. So a pretty big mix here. Let's just go through them quickly. Warriors obviously lost Klay for the season, which was tough. They signed Kelly Oubre, obviously got Weissman, brought back Kent Bazemore, good signing. The Nuggets, we lost Jeremy Grant and Torrey Craig on the wing. We re-signed Millsap, even though he's 40. We brought in Jermichael Green, so we're fine. I don't know. We were a contender last year. We'll see what we do. The Heat brought on Mo Harkless, Myers Leonard, Dragic. Big pickup was Avery Bradley, so they took him from the Lakers. Trailblazers had a sneaky good offseason, bringing in Robert Covington, re-signed Melo, brought on Harry Giles, Rodney Hood, Cantor. Celtics lost Hayward but kept Tatum for the long term and brought in Tristan Thompson. 76ers brought on Dwight Howard but still have a bunch of moves to make. So we're just bombarded with all these moves. James, what stands out to you in this group of challengers?
Honestly, trying to keep up with everything over the last few days.
It's unbelievable.
Literally, every 5 minutes, as something changes, someone's going everywhere. I still don't even know where Trevor Ariza is. Is he?
Three times in one week.
Pistons had him for one day.
Three trades in one week.
I mean, poor guy. And I really like him as well. Poor lad. Out of all those, I think there's still stuff to go on. The Heat. Avery Bradley, I think, was a good pickup. The Heat, I feel like, are doing enough to just keep themselves in the picture this season. Mm-hmm. But next year, they're waiting to go big. And that's where I think a Greek Freak could be a nice destination for him in the Miami Sun. It'd be great over there, wouldn't he? And that's what I see the Heat doing. Nuggets, I was going to ask you, Brian. Me, I look from the outside. I felt like you had a real good opportunity to kind of improve that much more. And I don't know if you've done it.
I think we've – so my official position, which is not confirmed by the Nuggets, is our team is super young still. We have Bol Bol prospect, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, Jokic. We're all still young. Jokic, I think, is 25, 26. Jamal Murray's still young. So I don't think
Jokic, 25. I have no idea.
Anyway. Lied on his birth certificate, maybe. but I think we're prepping for the next few years. We're not going all in right now. I think we're going to let LeBron retire and then make our move. So I support that decision. Skylar, what stood out to you here?
I think the Trailblazers, honestly, had a really sneaky good offseason. I am a tiny bit of a Rockets fan, so losing Rocco was really tough for me. But I think he'll be a great fit on this team. I loved that Melo re-signed because he wanted to show Portland loyalty after they were the only ones to give him a chance. Loved that. Yep. Cantor returns. I think the Trailblazers could be actually sneaky good next season.
Yeah, I think they've got some good picks there. I think they've really strengthened their squad. You know, their bench has got stronger, experienced players in there who've been there. I think they're going to be ones to watch in the Western Conference for sure. Mm-hmm. Really tricky team. I think they've done really well. I think that's a good spot.
Yeah. Also, the 76ers have been interesting just with Daryl Morey there. It's been really interesting to see the moves he's been making.
He's still got things up his sleeve. That's the Nets and the 76ers I'm still waiting on for them to make their big moves. I really like the Celtics bringing on Tristan Thompson. I thought that they haven't had that rim runner yet. I watched a lot of Tristan Thompson with the Cavs. Obviously with LeBron there, but also worked for Dan Gilbert in that family of companies. So spent a lot of time with the Cavs. And he was just kind of hiding in Cleveland. And I think that him on the Celtics will unlock and show people how talented he is. So I'm excited for that. And doubling down on Tatum, letting Hayward walk after a miserable 3 years or however long he was there. Not to his own fault. It just, that injury was one of the most shocking ever. But
oh, it was awful, wasn't it? I feel for him. I'm really glad he got the move. I'm really glad he got paid. You know, to come back from that is really tough. It's a lot of money for him, though.
So much money. $120 million, right? Fully guaranteed.
But where's all this money? There's money coming everywhere at the moment. Let's not talk about what's happened to outright. Please tell me. And correct
Jordan
me
Brand had a great year.
Well, Darren Fox. What about Darren Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darren Fox, how has he been paid the max? I do not understand. I don't. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm going crazy here, but I don't understand one tiny little bit.
He's fast. Swipe into Fox. Let's go into chat. Let's go into up and comers where I put them.
Changed it. I just went there. I just went there.
That's okay. Let's go there now. Up and comers. Atlanta making some moves. Brought on Rondo, Chris Dunn, Gallinari, the Suns. Chris Paul, this feels like old news at this point, but they brought on Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, they just re-signed. Detroit brought on a bunch of centers, Okafor, Dedmon, Plumlee. Don't know what that strategy is, Skylar. New Orleans brought on Steven Adams. And Skylar, is this true, Skylar? You told me this yesterday. Zion is the oldest Pelicans player now.
He's the most tenured.
He's the most longest tenured. Yeah. Everyone else was signed after he was drafted, which blew my mind.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Very strange.
Yeah.
Raptors.
Really strange.
Brought on Fred VanVleet, Chris Boucher, Aaron Baines. We got an Aaron Baines signing, which was great. The Knicks brought on Austin Rivers and Nerlens Noel, just the graveyard picks. OKC has everyone's first-round picks for the next 10 years. Donovan Mitchell stayed in Utah. Fox stayed with the Kings. A lot happening. Anything stand out to you, James, with all of these different up-and-comers, just kind of the bottom table of the league?
Yeah, I'll move away from De'Aaron Fox. I don't know what the Kings are doing, if I'm honest.
Because they brought in Halliburton, who could replace Fox. It's puzzling.
I don't get what's going on there. What are they trying to accomplish? I'm really confused by that. They're almost like a franchiser. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's how we feel in the States, too.
Good.
I literally never think about them.
They're very irrelevant, which is too bad.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame, but they're irrelevant. And for them to go, oh, we've got no other chance of anything else, we'll just give them the max.
Yep.
Just utterly bizarre. OKC, I'm waiting for it because it's coming. They're going to go 1 year. I'm not sure what year it's going to be. Maybe 2023 by the sound of it. They're going to go so big. They're going to create a super team of everything. They've got so much to play with.
So many assets.
So I'm really excited when that happens. We're going to sit there in shock because they're going to announce they're going to sign LeBron. Magic Johnson's coming. Jordan's coming over. Larry Bird's coming back from retirement. They're all coming just to make this super team of OKC. There's some exciting moves. It's just mayhem. Honestly, yep. Coming from the UK, we're not used to this. You know, we get excited over the football or soccer transfer window mm-hmm. when yep. you get the odd player moves and it's a big move. One player goes. It's every single year, players are going all over the place and it's happening more and more in the NBA. It's so exciting. Like, it just... That's what makes a sport so great that, you know, one year this team could be great, the next year another team could be great. It's just, it's brilliant. And it's been so exciting to try and keep up with everything. Exciting. Atlanta, big shout out to Atlanta. I think they've done really well. They needed to do something now.
Yeah.
And I think they've made some solid moves. Look, they're not going to be contenders by any stretch of imagination, but they should.
They're building.
To the playoffs. They are building. And they're building with the... In my opinion, really smart players. I think Gallinari is a really solid pick. Yep. Rondo, you know, was fantastic for us in the playoffs last year. So, and to supplement Trae Young, who I still mm-hmm. love watching. What a great, exciting player he is. Fantastic.
Yeah, good moves, Hawks. Skylar, anything to add?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I can't wait to see Rondo just training up Trae Young. That's going to be really exciting to see. And I think the Suns are going to be fun this year. Yeah. The Suns were fun in the bubble last year, and they've only added more fun players that are going to really develop this team. I think Chris Paul works really well there, so really excited to see them too.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun season. So let's finish off with Thanksgiving. Skylar, you want to set this one up?
Yes. Okay. This week in the U.S., it's Thanksgiving, even though Thanksgiving has a problematic past. We're still rolling with it. and there's a pandemic, so we can't see our families this year. Everything's fine, but we're still going to go with the spirit of Thanksgiving, which is being thankful for things. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go round robin and say the one thing that we are thankful for in the basketball year, in the basketball world this year. And why? So I'll start so that you guys can, you know, think. About
Thank
what
you.
You're
Stall
thankful
for us.
For. Yeah. So I am thankful for the Boston police checking on me every day. And
Skylar,
just kidding.
Why do you bring that up?
Sorry.
Gordon Hayward's wife, James, if you didn't see that.
I am thankful for, I'm actually thankful for Blake Griffin this year. I have a feeling.
And every year.
And every year. I have a feeling we're not going to be seeing too much of Blake Griffin in Detroit for too much longer. I have a feeling our time with him is very limited. And, you know, when he got traded to Detroit, I think a lot of people made a lot of jokes about, you know, he was in LA, he was playing for the Clippers, he's living in California, and now he has to go live in Detroit, and that fucking sucks for him. And, you know, he's going to try to get out as soon as he can. And Blake Griffin has, you know, rejected all of that rhetoric. He has been very kind to Detroit. He's been very kind to Michigan. He always talks about how much he loves Detroit, how much he loves living here, how much he loves the fans. And he didn't have to do that stuff. And so yep. I'm just very thankful for him for being so kind to Detroit, giving us some fun times, even though he was injured literally 90% of the time. And thank you, Blake Griffin. I will miss you, but also we need to get rid of you.
Yep. I've got a good one, not NBA related.
Great.
I'm thankful for the British Basketball League. They just came out with their schedule for the season. I know a tremendous amount of work went into actually allowing them to have a full schedule and bring us the season with the pandemic and the lockdown and the government funding. So thank you, BBL. You're giving us a fun season of British basketball, especially while we're waiting for the NBA to restart. So I'm looking forward to that season. What about you, James?
Oh, both of them are really nice. And I can't believe I found somebody who really likes and respects Blake Griffin. It's amazing.
Hey, Skylar. I will defend him.
Good for you. You should do as well. He needs defending a lot. I'm thankful for the bubble bringing Lakers success.
No, look, I knew you were going to do that.
For that one.
It's too easy. Look, the bubble for me, and look, the bubble was... we were so fearful about what sport would look like globally. Mm-hmm. You know, last year when the pandemic hit, we didn't know what any sport was going to look like, whether it was soccer in the UK, football in America, basketball. We just had no idea. The bubble at the start, you're going, oh, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? The NBA and the players did an unbelievable job. Good. And what I was so pleased to watch is that the level didn't drop, you know, that they still were so competitive. The games were so close and exciting, and none of it seemed to be affected by the fact there wasn't a proper crowd in there. And I thought they just did an astonishing job to give basketball fans around the world some amazing action to watch, stuff that we'll never, ever forget watching. We saw the unearthing of some incredible young talent coming through who really got the opportunity to shine in a bubble. And of course, yes, I'm biased, the Lakers' success. We were lined up to win a championship last year. They tried to mess us around with the pandemic, but we overcame it. And I'm very thankful for that I saw the Lakers win an NBA championship again.
That's great. All right. Thanks so much for coming on, James. We appreciate it.
Loved it, guys. I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Bye.